We've heard a lot of ways of removing spirits from a home or a building, but does a broom work just as good? In a recent EPP bonus episode, it appeared to for one listener. We'll tell you exactly what they did with the broom.
It's really creepy.
Become an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com to get that episode and all of our bonus episodes and exclusive video content as well. It's what keeps our show fueled and on the air. Only $5 a month. Help keep the show going and enjoy all the bonuses of being an EPP. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener feels that the negative entity that haunts her home has been following her to school. After watching too many paranormal TV shows, a young man has his own experience while walking home alone at night. Could a shadow person in a family home actually be taking on the form of one of the living residents? And sometimes a ghost is just as upset to see a beloved resident move as living friends are. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi.
Hi.
Joining you once again. How are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am. I'm doing well. I get a kick out of the pictures that are sent into us here on the show, and context is such a big thing.
Yeah.
When it comes to photos that are sent into us, and I enjoy them because we get a lot of them. Some are really interesting and good and worthy of posting up in our photo section, which if you haven't checked it out yet, go ahead and check it out on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And the photo section has all sorts of interesting things that we've talked about on the show here over the course past many years. But we got a letter earlier, and I have yet to really read the letter in its entirety, but what stood out to me was the first email I got saying, here's the photos that pertain to the letter. And I'm looking at the photos, and it's just pictures of a balloon in various places. Mm-hmm. And again, I believe, and I have to read the whole story. Have you seen the story by any chance? Have you skimmed anything like that that's come into you?
Not recently.
Okay. Anyway, from what I could gather on the story that was sent into us from one of our listeners was this balloon was like kind of doing its own thing,
mm-hmm.
and like moving around the room and everything. Like up walls and all by itself, which is interesting because a balloon would be a fairly easy to manipulate object if you're a ghost, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they send us in this whole collage of pictures of the balloon. and if you don't know what you're looking at, you just think, okay, there's a little balloon in all these different situations.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, it's one of those pictures where it's like, I don't know if we're really going to post them. We'll probably tell the story at some point once I get over to it, because we get so many stories in here. But it's just one of those things where, even if you do know the story, the balloon doesn't really look paranormal.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
There's no ghost. I mean, theoretically, anyone could just take pictures of the balloon. So I appreciate all the effort put into the balloon pictures, but I want to see an entity,
yeah.
or something if the picture is being sent in, or an orb or something that adds a little bit more paranormalness to it. And maybe there is in one of them. There's quite a few pictures that were sent in, so maybe I just need to scan them a little bit more. I was kind of baffled this morning when I was reading that, because I'm like, pictures of balloons. And no story yet. And then a couple hours later, I got the balloon, the actual context of the balloon story. But I was like, this is an interesting photo. I'm awaiting the story.
My question is, how fast were these photos taken? Is it like you can look at them real fast and see the balloon?
No.
No, it's not like that.
It's just like balloons all over the place.
Okay.
So anyway, I want to read the story. Thank you for sending that in. I just thought it was funny, the context, because the reverse order that it came into us at was kind of like, huh? So, anywho, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Although I suppose you kind of feel the same way if you're just looking at our photo section and some of the photos, and you don't know what the context is of some of the photos.
Sure.
You know, not knowing it's a ghost site. Like, what is this? Because some of you really do have to look at really, really closely to see anything. The phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. And, of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get your stories into us here. Our first story today comes into us from Kaylee. And Kaylee says, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Kaylee from Western Wisconsin. I just wanted to say that your podcast is amazing. I listen to it while doing mostly everything. I'm becoming an EPP real soon. I also wanted to share one of my many experiences with you. I feel like this is one of the only places I can share it without someone telling me I'm crazy. I'm going to share an experience that I had about 5 years ago. Lived in an old farmhouse with my mom, stepdad, and stepsister at the time. I was about 16 at the time when we moved in there. It's a nice, quiet home. No neighbors or busy roads nearby. The air in the house always felt thick and evil, but I didn't think anything of it. The first few nights of sleeping in the house were quiet, but one night I heard some noises coming from downstairs. It sounded like someone was playing with the pans and pots. The next morning I casually asked my parents if they'd heard anything that night. When they both answered no, I started to think about what it could have been. I couldn't think of any logical reasons, but I forgot about it and went on with my day. The next night, I stayed up for a while to see if I could hear anything. I was sitting on my bed reading a book when I saw my door open. I assumed it was my little sister coming in to tell me she had a bad dream, which she had quite often. I looked up and started to say, 'Did you have another bad dream?' I stopped in the middle of my sentence because there was a short black figure standing at the foot of my bed. I felt cold and was shaking. I don't know how, but I knew it wasn't human. It didn't feel that way anyways. It moved closer to me and let out a long, low growl. Only what I can describe as a bear snarling. I felt so afraid. I must have eventually passed out because I woke up the next morning. It was gone, but not my fear. I slowly got up and got ready for school. On the school bus on the way to school, I was sitting and looking out the window. We live near a graveyard, and my bus passed it every day. I saw the figure standing on the edge of the graveyard. I feel it staring at me. My heartbeat races, and I force myself to look away. I've seen this creature almost every day since then. I don't know what it is or why it's following me. I thought maybe you, Tony, or Jenny could help. Thank you for reading my story."
It's hard to know if it's something that followed her there to the home when they moved in, or if it's something that now follows her when she leaves home. Being close to a graveyard, it's hard to know, and I'm willing to bet it came from there.
It's you got something following you. That's for sure. I think almost, I don't know if the origin of it is relevant in getting rid of it. Do you think?
No, it's not. It just, it's something that's tied to the home, though, it might be easier to get rid of.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem all that nice.
No.
I mean, not that it's done all that much, but just judging from what she's feeling, it doesn't seem like it'd be all that positive of something that's lurking around the corner. I'm assuming that they're the only person that can see it?
I don't know.
Is that accurate? I'd love to know more if you're the only one seeing this, if other people are seeing it, if only other people who are sensitive are able to see it too. That'd be another interesting part to this, but there's something. I don't know that it's trying to get you a message. I'm gonna kind of go with it's more so, almost trying to torment the way that it's showing up.
Maybe it simply knows that you can see it, and that might be enough.
And it's just getting satisfaction out of being seen.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. I remember my bus when I was a kid. It drove through a little graveyard back behind the Tichita prison.
Okay, yeah.
And there's this little nook graveyard that's on both sides of the roads. So you have to almost assume that at one point the road wasn't there, and that the way that it's laid out, that very likely the road went over some of the graves at some point in time.
Ooh.
Just because of the way.
Yeah.
Like, why would there be a road, a public road, kind of in the middle of this graveyard?
I don't know.
It's one thing to have a regular, you know, and it's a very finite space, too.
So anyway, very, very old. Like, I think the most recent headstone in there is probably from like the 1920s.
Oh, goodness.
Or so. It's all falling apart and dilapidated. Big oak trees and black walnut trees, and it's all, it was just spooky as hell for a very small cemetery. I would always kind of hope that the bus would break down right about there and that I could go out and explore.
Okay.
As a wee young lad.
Nothing like being broken down on a bus in the middle of a cemetery right by a prison.
Oh, yeah, right behind the prison.
Sounds like a good thing.
It was. It was very exciting. And that prison, by the way, for those of you scoring along at home and remember the 90s, and there was, we had one famous prisoner in there, Laurencia Bambenek. I don't know if you remember the story. I don't remember the story myself all that much, but I believe she ended up getting released because it was found out that she was innocent. It was some murder case, but it was made into like a Lifetime movie, and she was on Oprah and had a book and all that.
Is that the burning bed lady? The one that
burning
she
bed.
Was beaten for so long throughout her marriage that she set the house on fire and killed her husband?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Because I don't believe she even killed anybody.
Okay.
I believe it was completely innocent. She broke out of prison, but then was later found to be innocent to begin with.
Okay.
So I think they kind of like put a wash on the whole breaking out deal. But at that date and time, it was kind of funny because we lived not far from this prison. And back in those days, it was considered a maximum security prison. However, the maximumness of it was kind of a joke. Like, we would drive by, and the fence, you could see literally, like, where the ground had kind of sunk in below the fence. So there was ways of just getting under the fence very easily. It was very rusted.
Uh-huh.
The barbed wire was probably, there's probably, I would say, fast food restaurants in bad parts of cities that are more heavily guarded than,
really?
With better barbed wire around than what this prison had circa 1992.
Wow.
It was very, very bad. So it was kind of a fun little creepy area. You got convicted felons and the dead right there.
Yeah.
Good, good place to grow up and I guess eventually do a ghost show for all the morbid imagery. Donovan writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jen. My name is Donovan. I lived in Ontario, Canada. My story begins at a good friend Charlotte's house. She lives up the road from me. It's about a 5-minute walk from my house. I was visiting her one night, and we had a couple of drinks and watched some creepy shows on the television. It was 2:30 a.m. when I decided to head for home. As I was leaving, I said, 'I hope the devil doesn't walk me home.' We laughed at this as I shut her door. There's a crossroad that joins her streets, and I always look right, left, and behind me before I walk through it. There was nobody in sight, so I walked onto my street. My street is fairly dark because there's only street lights that illuminate the way. I was halfway to my house and I really wanted a cigarette and I didn't have any, so I decided to stop at Granger and Krista's house. They're also good friends of mine. Went around back to their bedroom window and tapped on it. Tried knocking a few more times and no one answered, so I was out of luck for a cigarette. As I turned the corner to go down their driveway, I saw a very tall man walking fast. He had a long staff with him. I was going to wait for a little while so I wouldn't catch up on him, but decided to start my journey home again. I turned back onto my street and I could see the man's silhouette as he was nearing the streetlight. His silhouette was changing shapes. He went from tall and thin to short and chubby and changed back again. I began to get scared by now and I was trying to figure out who this man was and why he was stopped in the mid-stride. He turned his head to look at me. My blood ran cold and straight to my feet. I realized that he was waiting for me to catch up to him. I have never been so terrified in my life. I told myself not to run the other way because I knew that he'd get me. As I caught up to him, he asked, 'Who are you?' I stated that I was Donovan and proceeded to ask me another question. He asked, 'Where are you coming from?' I told him I was coming from Granger and Krista's house. Then he said, 'Where are they?' I told him that I thought they had gone spearing. I walked... What's spearing?
Walleye spearing.
Oh!
It's kind of like sturgeon spearing.
Oh, okay. I walked on the other side of the road from him, and as we kept walking, I could feel him staring at me. He did not look where he was going because I could partially see him looking at me in my peripheral vision. He did not falter and kept striding along with ease. I did not dare look directly at him because I was afraid of what he would look like or what he may turn into. As I neared my house, which is the last house on my street, I noticed that the streetlight was burnt out. This terrified me even more because I did not know this man or what he might do to me. At the end of my street, branches off onto another road, as I was nearing my driveway, the man said, "I'll see you later." He proceeded to take the road that branches off. I told him okay and began running down my long driveway and into my house. Once inside, I locked the door and took some time to calm down and stop shaking. I told my family this story in the morning. I called my friend Charlotte to tell her this tale as well. This happened in 2005. I live in a very small village where everybody knows everyone who lives there. Never seen this man again, and I'm hoping I never will. Not saying that this man was the devil, but I won't be joking around like that again. I believe he may have been a shapeshifter. I want to clarify what spearing means. Spearing is when we go out in boats and spear walleye out of the water. We use cedar poles and medium-sized prongs to spear the fish. Lastly, I want to tell you that I am not the only one to have seen this tall man with a staff. The weekend before he walked me home, two of my friends were driving out of the village and saw the man walking on the sidewalk. They've never seen him again. Thank you for sharing my story with the listeners. I'll be sure to submit more in the future.
I want to know if he felt compelled to tell this man the answers to his questions. Because I'm not sure I would tell this mysterious, creepy-looking stranger where I just come from, where my friends were, you know, and what I was doing. I wonder if he felt like he was unable to resist telling, you know.
I wonder that too. It could also just be a small town thing where everybody shares every piece of information with everyone.
Yeah.
That happens quite frequently.
Yeah.
In those settings. But I don't know. It's what makes it paranormal is the shape-shifting.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, you have a drifter.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that that was going on, and the fact that other people had seen him for a couple other weeks in this small area where other people would likely have seen this thing.
Sure.
Oh, very, very, very odd. Thank you for writing in that story. If you ever want to read something funny, check out the newspapers. And I don't know how they are these days because I haven't read one forever. But there's a newspaper from my home state of Wisconsin, from where my grandparents are from, in Black River Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Banner Journal. And it's like a weekly, I think it's a weekly newspaper. But back in the day, you could read this thing. And like I said, I don't know what it is today, so I'm not speaking of what it is today. But years ago, I mean, even into the 90s, you would read this thing. And there'd be articles about so-and-so's cousin came in to visit from... you know,
really?
It was like not news.
Wow.
It was just like every little piece of tidbit information that the basement church ladies would have been sharing with each other made it to the paper. And it was fun. I mean, it was really, it's a small town and it's a really, you know, I have a nice place in my heart for that place because it's a cool small town. But it was just funny to read these things in a publication.
That would drive me nuts. I'm such a private person, believe it or not, that would just be insanely crazy to me.
And it's not like it's not an Amish community or anything like that. I mean,
sure.
There are some out in the area, but it's not like it wasn't like an Amish publication.
Okay.
Which you do see that in those, and that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of that culture. This was just like a normal everyday newspaper for the town. So it's like
it's Mayberry.
It really kind of was. Yeah.
Aww,
but it's
that's sweet.
Yeah, it was a fun read. My grandma would get it, and she didn't live there for many, many years, but she had it delivered, and they, you know, you can get it, you know, as a subscription pretty much anywhere. If you want, we could get one here, and they'll ship it out. But it was always just funny to read some of that stuff. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. It makes you almost wish that the world was still a place where that was the news.
What was that called again?
Their newspaper, the Banner Journal.
Okay.
You know, it's just, it kind of takes you back to another time where maybe in some places it still can kind of be like that. It's a neat place. Mike writes in, "Hey guys, love your show. I'm a newbie with it and can't wait to hear all the stories you share. This one will be a quick one. My wife and I bought a home in 2012 in rural Wisconsin. Ever since we moved in, my wife has been experiencing some activity that she cannot explain. It doesn't happen every day or even every week, but it seems to go in streaks. My wife has called me on multiple occasions to see if I was at home after leaving for work. I'll tell her no, I'm almost at work. Why, what's up? And she'll tell me that she heard my cough coming from upstairs. I have a chronic cough due to asthma. My wife will call my name and not get a reply. She's told me my cough will appear within minutes after I leave for work and she's getting out of the shower. So one night, around half a year ago, my wife woke up in a panic with an extremely frightened look on her face that she saw a man in the doorway. I grabbed a bat and searched the house to find nothing. I asked her to explain to me what she saw, and she said that a man about my height was standing at the door wearing a baseball cap like the one I wear and looking towards our bed. She went on to say that she could not make out any features, but more of a dark shadow wearing a baseball cap. I reassured her that there was nothing there, rubbed her back, and went back to bed. My wife gets pretty freaked out by these things, so I know not to bring up stuff that I experience. But the next morning, while having coffee, I said to her, "Do you remember seeing that figure in the doorway last night? I didn't want to scare you that time, but I saw the same thing about an hour before you woke me up." This made her more freaked out, but I told her that we've been here almost 3 years and have not been hurt by anything. Luckily, we have not seen anything since then, just heard footsteps upstairs. My wife still hears my cough or even my cell phone ringing while I'm not there. Thanks for reading this. I'm a true believer in the paranormal, but I am one that will try to find an excuse for anything out of the ordinary before concluding to myself that it was more than likely paranormal.
That is strange. It's almost like residual energy from what's currently going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the shadow person looking like the husband. That, I don't know if that's a ghost doing that or if there's some kind of weird
replay
going on almost, or rewind or something like that.
Like there's some sort of vortex that's sucking in what he's normally doing and then replaying it at random times. Because he saw it too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
So I was going to say, it's not just making itself known to her.
No.
I would, you know, that's one of those cases where you have to wonder, you know, is this something that is natural and normal in our world and in our surroundings at certain places due to whatever the fields may be or whatever you want to call them? And certainly it's paranormal right now because we don't know what the hell it is. And when you have something like this happen, it's very frightening. But I wonder if there will ever be a day where something like this will be able to be explained. You know, there's something where, and I cannot pronounce it, and I can't think of what the word even looks like, believe that or not,
okay,
that I can't pronounce a word, but there's a phenomenon that's been going on in China where people will see other cities in clouds. And it's something to do with the curvature of the earth, the light that's hitting things in certain ways, and it's essentially a mirage.
Okay.
But it's not a mirage that's, you know, not like the puddle you're seeing down the hot road there that looks like water. It is actually a true reflection of another city that is somehow bouncing back. The light waves are bouncing back and then projecting themselves up on the clouds and some sort of horizon.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and it's extremely creepy too.
I wonder why that's only happening there.
I don't know, and I don't know if it is happening in other places, but I know there's been some reports of that over the past couple of years. There was just one not that long ago, and I saw the video of it. It was really creepy because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the formations of it looked like skyscrapers were coming out of the clouds.
Oh, wow.
And there was another one, a bit of a smaller. It wasn't skyscrapers, but it was a apparition, essentially, of another city that they determined, well, that's whatever city, that's not that far away. It's a ways away. You're not going to normally see it from here. But for whatever reason, its image was projected briefly into the clouds.
Now, is it like reflected upside down?
No.
No. So it's reflected like it's up there.
It's reflected like, why are we seeing this up there like that? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes it can also be reflected if it's, I believe that the first occurrence, not the skyscraper one, but the other one, was more so reflected so far out in the horizon that it looked like it could possibly be like a city on a hill out there.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow it's, I don't believe it's time changing or travel or vortex or something, because people are like, well, what if it's this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure, but probably much more likely some sort of weird trick of light that is not easily explained and very rarely occurring.
Wow.
So with things like that that can exist and happen,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if other things could also happen too along those lines. Now, it doesn't explain sounds and things of that nature all that much, but I don't know. I think there might be something to that in the world of science that we are just not aware of yet.
I agree. I mean, we hear about that often enough,
mm-hmm.
that there's something to it. I mean, there has to be.
Especially when there's no interaction.
Yeah.
Interaction, yeah. You got a ghost. When there's no interaction and it's just some sort of repetitive same person you're seeing, not really acknowledging your existence or anything, I think there may be something else to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Ashley writes in, hi there, Tony and Jenny. Before I tell you a new recent story, I thought I'd give you an update about a story I wrote in a long time ago about a house I lived in New Zealand that was haunted by a young Polynesian man. I had said that after he appeared at the end of my bed that all activity stopped and that I wondered whether he had passed on or whether he just was settled into living with us quietly. Turns out he'd been living with us quietly until we found out that our landlord was trying to sell the cottage we were renting from underneath us. It was a stressful time as we only had a few weeks to find another place to live. In this time, our ghost was unhappy that we were leaving, so all activity began again. We'd hear someone walking around downstairs under the mezzanine at night, which was neither my partner nor I. Pictures that couldn't fall off would be found on the floor when we came home and brand new attic began. Our antic began. Our resident ghost began to play with a fire alarm. Every other night at around 3 or 4 a.m., the fire alarm would sound a random short burst of time, stop for a short while, and then start up for another random short burst. There was no pattern that you'd assume a faulty fire alarm would have and would only happen at the time of that specific time of night, to the point where one of us would have to get up and take the battery out so it'd stop. This happened for the next week or so, where we were desperately trying to pack up the house. Until one night, it was happening, I asked him to please stop and let us sleep, as we were very stressed out and tired. And we didn't want to move, but we had no choice. That antic then stopped. We left the cottage in a better state than we moved in. And when I did my last trip to the house before I handed the keys over, I said to him, I'm sorry, but you can't come with us. Please be kind to the next people that move in, and I wish you good luck and peace. He respected our request, and I haven't heard from him since. As for my new story, sadly, at the beginning of this year, my favorite uncle lost his fight with terminal prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is particularly nasty and slow, and having grown very frustrated at being reduced from a very strong man to being unable to walk, talk properly, or feed himself, he pulled out his tube from his dead kidney. I believe he did this to let himself be at peace faster. Please understand that I mean no disrespect to him by telling you this, because I think it's part of why what happened happened. Within the next day and a half, he had peacefully passed away. I went to the rest home he was being cared for at to support my mother and siblings, shed our tears, and say my goodbyes. Mostly when someone passes away, the body then leaves behind feels empty. Their presence just isn't there anymore. When I went into his room, I could feel his presence, specifically standing in the corner of his room, opposite from his bed where he lay. I think the end came much quicker than he thought, and shock of it kept him around for a short time. I said my goodbyes and told him how much I loved him and that he really shouldn't stay. During the week while we planned the funeral, he seemed to hang around my house. I'd see a shadow walking around my house where shadows of people couldn't be cast from the outside, and specifically when my mother, his only sister, came over to help me make his memorial video, the fire alarm went off, even though there was nothing to make that happen, and it has not done since. My mom and dad were renovating at the time, and she swears as she was painting and the skirting boards that she heard him say, "You're doing it wrong, you're using the wrong brush, you know," like he always would when he was alive. After the funeral, he had passed on, but I thought it was an interesting story to tell you. Thanks for reading this, Ashley.
Okay, I know that the first half of her story about the Polynesian boy was a long time ago, but I vaguely remember them sharing that home with him, and he was kind of a happy, protective spirit. So I find it interesting that he was kind of upset that they were leaving.
Yeah. Well, it's like having a pet. The people were his pet.
The people were his pet, yeah.
It's the ghost. You're the pet of the ghost. When the ghost can't leave the house, you're theirs.
Yeah. But the second half, you know, I think maybe it was just he hadn't crossed over yet.
Yeah.
And it was just too soon.
I agree. Good story. Thank you for writing that in. Melissa writes in, I've had multiple paranormal experiences throughout my life so far, mostly non-malicious, but nevertheless interesting to think about sometimes. One in particular was about 3 years ago when I was 15 years old. For about 2 days, I'd been sensing something was watching me from the corner of my room, where the corner of the wall and the end of my bed met. On the third day, I'd been on my bed in my room going through MySpace and Facebook and had decided to start updating my profile pictures. My laptop had a webcam on it, so I decided it would be easiest to take pictures through that. When going through my video to screenshot of my pictures and myself, I saw that the correlation of that same corner was off. At the time, I ignored it and simply updated my pictures and went to bed, though I still had the feeling that there was an entity in that corner. I had a dream that night, though. Like how dreams skip around. And in this particular fragment, I pictured my room dark, no lights, and there was clear as day a Caucasian man with short, light hair, a defined but thin face and fit, and looked to be around his 30s, just smiling and sitting on the end of my bed with his arms relaxing in his lap. When I woke up, I felt that the dream had been a way of this entity saying, "Hey, I'm here. Don't ignore me. I won't hurt you." But seeing as this was a male entity and my being a teenage girl, I felt uncomfortable with an invisible man watching me in my room all day. So later on that day, before going to bed again, I simply asked him to leave because he made me feel uncomfortable. And with that, I felt the presence disappear and never came back. A few days later, I looked again at the video I had captured with the area where it was discolored, and when I looked closer, I indeed saw the face of the same man who appeared in my dreams, confirming that ghost was real. I proceeded to delete that video and the pictures because a feeling told me by capturing a photo of him, he'd have physical presence here. But I did not want that to happen, seeing as I've had plenty of experiences already. Why that ghost decided to hang out in my room for 4 days bewilders me. If he was trying to communicate how he died to me, I unfortunately cannot say I know why he did or if he had known me when I was younger. I think I'll write another experience to you guys in another email. Thank you for reading my experience.
That's kind of strange. He just stopped by for 4 days. You know, I'm just like a passing through ghost.
Yeah.
We hear about that, but it's just kind of odd when that happens.
It's a traveler ghost.
Yeah.
I think that's another category.
Traveler ghost.
We can add to the world of ghosts.
How about nomadic ghost?
Nomadic ghost.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good title.
There we go.
We should use that one in a future episode.
We'll do.
The nomadic ghost. It's an interesting story, and I think it's just some of them do that for whatever reason. 855-853-4802, our number. Lindsay writes in, I came across your podcast a while ago looking for something spooky to accompany one particularly dreary fall rainy day. That was a couple weeks ago, and I've been hooked ever since. I'm working my way through the episodes and hope to become an EPP soon. I've debated sharing this story as it isn't as scary as some, but thought that as a new fan of the podcast, I should contribute if I could. I was 16 years old and was a junior in upstate South Carolina at a high school. During one of our slow days in my drama class, my teacher asked that three other students and I go and organize the stage left dressing room. As this was the end of the year and the room hadn't been fully organized since August, this was a massive undertaking that we expected to take multiple class periods to complete. The stage left dressing room had two doors, one that led into the front of the house and one that led into the backstage area. The legend of the school auditorium said that one of the district superintendents from years past had hung himself in the rafters of the backstage area and he walked through the stage left dressing room to get backstage. Despite this, the backstage door was frequently left open. However, as there were only four teenage students in the auditorium at the time, we made a decision to keep the door closed because the legend was too creepy to chance. I personally shut and latched the door because ADD runs rampant through teenagers when left alone. My classmates and I ventured to the front of the house. After I checked that the backstage door was still shut and latched, it was there that we saw something lying in front of one of the balconies. 10 minutes of, "I'm not going if you go in." "Well, I'm not going in, you go in." Later, I was climbing up the stairs to the balcony, nearly certain that I would see the old superintendent lying in front of the window. Thankfully, my concerns were alleviated when I realized that it was only a broken chair. I thought that our scary moments were over, but I was incredibly wrong. When we returned to the dressing room to continue with our organization and the four of us stopped simultaneously, the latch door that I checked prior to leaving was standing open. We were the only ones in the room. I heard someone gasp behind me, and one person left the auditorium. As we were standing there, the door started to move. The other two students bolted and left me alone in the dressing room. I stood curious, determined to find the cause of the moving door. I listened for the air conditioning to have come on, looked for something to be pushing or pulling the door, or even to see if I could determine if the hinges were faulty. None of my theories worked. Nothing that I could see or hear was touching or moving the door. It started to move faster, and as it did, I felt a chill rush over me so strongly that I was shivering. I couldn't scream and I couldn't think, but I could still run. I sprinted out of the room and was in the drama room only seconds after my classmates. Shaking and terrified, we told our teacher what had happened, and she assured us that it was only our imagination. Even though I continued to do theater in the auditorium, I would refuse to be alone in that dressing room again. I hope you enjoyed my story. I have a couple more that are a little more on the scary side to share later. Thanks for making my work days better with your show. Cheers, Lindsay from South Carolina.
I wonder if it was that superintendent that's around, but it's hard to know because theaters are notoriously haunted, even high school theaters. And depending on the age of the school, it could be anything.
I would think even that there's some people who go back and return to the theater after death, and people who've gone out and lived a life, even. Maybe it's just such a happy place for them that they come back.
They felt like they could truly be themselves in the theater, which is ironic because you're being somebody else.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of people find they are most at home on stage.
More maybe, comfortable.
Yeah, and maybe that's why.
It's hard to say who that was in there, but I do not blame them for not wanting to be in that dressing room by themselves ever again. Jasmine writes, anyways, hi there. You read my letter this last week in Paranormal Etiquette about the old woman with the large black eyes staring down at me from her balcony as I walked home from class. I nearly squealed on the train when I heard you read it on the podcast. I was so excited. I'm writing you both today because I'd like to expand on that letter a little and get your opinions. I mentioned that my dad thinks that I'm the haunted one, as strange things always happen to me no matter where I go. I'm a person with high anxiety, and while I do believe I'm naturally anxious, I also have realized that at times I'm sensitive to a paranormal presence or vibe, and sometimes I interpret that sensitivity as just another minor anxiety attack. I can't see or feel a specific person, but I can sense when a place has a presence or a past. Usually I just ask, is this place haunted? And we'll get confirmation that paranormal happenings have occurred. Because I can't see or hear individual spirits, and the fact that I have never been face-to-face with a ghost, I don't consider myself to have any type of gift. I just think that I am extraordinarily observant, so I notice subtle otherworldly things that often go over other people's heads. I notice one thing that keeps happening to me, however, and it happens so often that I think there's something paranormal behind it. I've noticed people looking at me, and along with this look, I get a very negative sensation. Aside from the old woman watching me as I walked by that I told you about, there are a couple other instances that stand out. One time about 10 years back, my mom and I went into a fast food restaurant to grab a quick bite to eat. There was a man sitting by himself at a table facing the window looking out into the parking lot where we parked our car. Once inside the restaurant, the space on my forehead, where some call the third eye is located, began hurting very badly. Like a bad migraine in this one spot. I looked at the man and he looked back at me. Couldn't take my eyes off of him. I knew it was him causing my head to hurt this way. I tried not to stare at him because just being near him was affecting me, but I could feel him watching me as we left the restaurant. I walked through the parking lot and pulled away in our car. I know I wasn't the only person who could see him there because I asked my mom if she saw him, but didn't tell her why. She said yes, and I dropped the subject. Another time that stands out to me happened about 6 months ago. I commute to work on a train, and at the front of each train car is a seat that faces the opposite direction than all the other seats in the car, so everyone in the car can see the faces of whoever is sitting in those front seats. One morning, as we got about 10 minutes away from our station, I looked up and there was a woman sitting in that front seat that I hadn't noticed, and she was staring directly at me. She was wearing all black, had black hair, was wearing black sunglasses. Through the glasses, I could see her eyes. She didn't have a sinister look on her face, but I could tell she wanted me to see her staring at me. I looked down, and when I looked back up, she was still staring. I looked down again, and when I looked back up, she moved seats. Her back was facing me. These trains are crowded, and I never saw her move, though it would be difficult for her to move and definitely noticeable. This chalked it up to me being distracted by my phone. But then I looked up a third time, and she had moved again. This time facing me again, looking right at me. I should say that each time that this happened, the feeling I got from these people was that they wanted me to see them. They knew who I was, and they were getting some type of validation from the fact that not only could I see them, but that they were creeping me out. There have been a couple times where this had happened, but not been negative. One time a car full of nuns stared at me and smiled for several seconds before the light turned green and they pulled off. I got the feeling that they knew exactly who I was. Their smile was familiar, rather than a friendly hello to a stranger. Even my mom noticed the way they were smiling at me. I know this sounds weird, and I may even sound slightly paranoid, but have either of you heard of this happening to anyone before? Thanks again. I can't wait to hear what you all have to say about this one.
I think we've heard about it, but I think most of the time, these people that are staring back, other people can't see them.
Yeah, I was going to kind of go that direction, mm-hmm. too, where maybe that woman on the train car, she did look completely normal and like she was actually there to you, but you may have been the only one actually witnessing the woman.
And, you know, I don't know if, did she say she asked her mom if she could see the first guy?
She didn't say on that one, but the mom saw the nuns.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe there is something about her that people are just drawn to looking at her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe some people can see auras. Maybe she has a visible aura. I don't know.
Some sort of presence about her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think she sees dead people, and yeah. I think she may have that.
Okay.
The aura, too. I don't think all these things that, I think it may increase the numbers of these experiences of feeling that people are staring at her because a lot of them aren't real or they're not living.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not, I don't mean like you're not actually having this experience. I mean, they're dead. They're ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of them are, in fact, other living people, but they may also be in that same realm of sensitivity and maybe that's standing out.
And they just know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very compelling story. Thank you so much for writing that in. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, I'm a recent listener, but I thought I would call in with my story. I actually have three stories, and they all took place in this one room, an old plantation house that was built in the 1790s. My grandparents owned it from the early 1980s to just this past year. I always stayed in this one back bedroom on the second floor of the house, and I always felt like there was something strange. Eventually, I would move into that room for the last 2 years of high school, and in my senior year, this is the most vivid story I have. I'm an insomniac, and it was very, very late. It was after midnight. I was listening to some music to try and get me to sleep with a male vocalist. After quite some time listening to it, I started hearing a female voice sing along with the words very distinctly, and I could hear it coming from behind me. Everything just stood on end. I was terrified. I wasn't on my back. I was facing the wall away from where the music was and from where I knew this voice was coming from. And after some minutes of sort of psyching myself up, I guess you could call it, I turned over completely to the other side and for a split second saw the shape of a woman, sort of a narrow shape of her, and everything went completely white, and I couldn't move for about, I don't know, maybe 16 seconds. It wasn't very long. It felt longer than it was. And needless to say, I did not sleep the rest of the night. But it was certainly something. I have others, but that'll be the one I'm telling you. Anyway, been very much enjoying the show. Keep it up. Take care.
Sing a long time with the dead.
Yeah, you know, I think there's something that happens with insomniacs, and I think it's kind of like that mental state where you're not the happiest, because I don't know too many insomniacs that are happy about being insomniacs.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when the more exhausted you get, the later it is, you're ready to go to sleep even though you can't. I think maybe that makes you more prime, you know, for the picking when it comes to ghosts coming by.
I see. I mean, kind of like health.
Yes.
It's that sort of, you end up being on the spectrum there of where they can make themselves known or who they can make themselves known to.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good story. Thank you for calling that in. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Back when I was a very young adult, in my early 20s, I was renting a house by myself. It was the first time I had been living on my own. And I noticed a couple times when I would come home that things had been moved around. Just small things, like maybe a vase was moved or a picture frame. Nothing huge, not big pieces of furniture or anything, but just little things, just enough to kind of get me to think and wonder, you know, how that may have happened, because I hadn't had anyone over at my house. And I was dating a man, and we hadn't been seeing each other very long, and he had been planning to come over one evening, and I was waiting for him to show up, and I was sitting in the window. There was a chair in front of my window. And I kind of had my head in between the curtains looking and watching for him. And I saw him pull up, and before he could even really park on the street, he looked up at my house and he drove off. And I called him immediately and asked him why he had driven off. And he said, "I didn't know you were going to have anyone over there." He was like, "Who is that, your dad?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "That older man in that was looking out the window with you, who is that?" I said, "I don't have anyone here with me." And he was like, "Yeah, because I don't want to meet your dad or anything." And I said, "No, there's no one here." And he said, "Yeah, there's a guy looking out the window with you, an older guy." And that just absolutely creeped me out. And I kind of put two and two together with the fact that I had been noticing odd little things happening in my house. So needless to say, shortly after that, I decided to move out because living alone, and that just really creeps me out. I couldn't sleep at night anymore after that. And I moved out after that and haven't had any trouble ever since.
I think I would have left as well. You know, after hearing as many stories as we hear, there's a lot of times where I don't get creeped out anymore, but that image of, you know, looking out the front door at somebody and then there's some creepy guy showing up behind you that's not there.
Yeah.
That really kind of creeps me out. I don't know if it's because I'm a girl and we always feel more vulnerable, but
I'd almost be more afraid of the living at that point. But then once you get that narrowed down that, okay, there really is no one else here.
Yeah.
That makes it even worse.
Yeah.
That's where you almost, you know, hope for a human that, you know, is going to be shoot out.
Mm-hmm.
And that can actually be somewhat controlled. It's the undead that you don't have the control with.
No.
That's scary. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. We went to Gettysburg this year, stayed at the Cache Town Inn, and had a few experiences, nothing really major, but when we were touring the battlefield about 9:30 at night, my daughter had an experience, and I'm going to put her on the phone. She's 10 years old, and she'll tell you what happened.
As we were coming back from, I think it was called Bedrock, Double Den, we felt this sense of coldness and we didn't know what it was, but only in that spot it was colder than the others. And we thought that was kind of strange because we just came from that way and it wasn't cold there before. So when we were coming back, my sister and my dad wanted to look at one last monument. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to go wait by the car until they're done. As I was waiting there, I don't know why, but I turned around, and there was a man standing right behind me. He had grayish-greenish pants on, and his arms were at his sides. He was very, very tall, and he was there and gone so fast. It was, like, unreal. And I almost fell over because I saw this, and when I got into the car, I told my family about what happened, and they thought it was pretty cool. After that, we kind of packed up and we went. I'd like to visit there again. It was very fun.
Well, I think, you know, if the parent calls in and gives the kid permission, it's worth airing.
Sure.
But she kind of brought up a point I hadn't thought about much, and that's when kids visit historical places like that, how much are they seeing? Because they see things all the time anyway.
How much are they seeing that they don't realize is not or should not be there?
Yeah, I mean, she was lucky that, I guess she was lucky in my mind that she realized that that was not somebody that was actually there, that that was a ghost. But how often are kids seeing things at, you know, places like Gettysburg? I mean,
sure.
Because it's good to take kids to these educational historical locations, but I never really thought about how much more they're going to see when they're there.
Maybe that's why I look back at like going to museums and everything as being much more exciting as a child.
Yeah.
I enjoy them now, but there's something missing, it feels.
That possibility of the paranormal?
I don't know that I really looked at it as like being paranormal when I was a kid or anything, but I don't know. There just seemed to be like there was more... I don't know, everything was bigger and more exciting, of course, when you're smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes you wonder.
It does. It
makes you wonder how much more were you seeing at that point in time in your life that you just thought, yeah, that's normal.
Uh-huh.
And you never really identified it as not being so normal. Interesting stories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you all for calling in and writing in on today's show. Of course, if you enjoy this little broadcast that we do here, please consider supporting it, becoming an APP, an extra podcast person. It's $5 a month, as you know. Get all the bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week. And it keeps this thing on the air. So please do so if you don't mind. And we will continue to do the show for a long, long time, as long as you guys are supporting it. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.